cold, far away world. A battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to yet another edition of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 117, recorded August 15th, 2014. Of course, I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is co-host Plasticon.
How you guys doing? It's Megamus. Been only a week.
Only a week. Megamus?
Only a week.
He's muted still.
No. No. I was waiting for him to shut up. But I'm here.
DSL.
Dr. Arkaville.
Hello, everyone.
Returning Sideburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
In high def.
Whoa.
With toys behind him now.
Oh.
Yep, wrong shoulder. You're reversed.
Just Proto-Man. Talk like that.
I even went the wrong way that way.
See, and Proto Man drops sad. Off. and Bryce.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, we're trying out some new things tonight. I want to tell people if you don't want to watch us on YouTube, we are testing a Ustream.tv live simulcast right now as well. And those episodes will be available just like on YouTube. Anytime that you want to go view TFYLP, you can check out our Ustream.tv channel, and we should be up there. I know Plasticon and I did a test earlier today, and everything seemed to be fine. So hopefully right now, if you're viewing us on Ustream, everything is going fine. I've got umpteen different computers here. I've got my main computer I'm on. I've got my production computer. I've got this thing going on back here for kicks and giggles, and it's kind of a madhouse. But hopefully
it's Skynet, dude. Just say Skynet.
It's Skynet. Yeah.
I've met Skynet. It's much cooler.
But hopefully, you know, what we're producing here is going to be top-notch and of high quality, and you guys can enjoy it. Also, I want to point out that if you are a Stitcher user, you can now find us and download and subscribe to us via Stitcher. Stitcher is a podcasting outlet, kind of like iTunes. You can go on there and search for TFYLP, and you will find us and can subscribe to us and download us. So if you like Stitcher, you can check us out on there and subscribe to us. And of course, we're always on iTunes, as well as Double Twist on the Android. You can check us out on there. I know me personally, I use Double Twist on my phone. I've used it for a number of years, and it's a great little app. And of course, if all of those different outlets fail, you can check us out on tftalk.net and download us directly from there. So guys, what's been up with you guys this week? Anybody have anything big go on lately or anything they want to talk about right off the bat? I know Sideburn 2's been gone a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. Come on, yeah. He's gonna fit us in. What's up with this absence? I mean, did you just abandon us or just ditch us or what?
Well, if you know, if anyone who's watched will know that usually I have a wrinkled old bed behind me. But the people who were living with us moved out. I've moved my bedroom to a different room. I turned this into my office. And then I bought hardwood floor for the entire house, so we've been laying that for the last month, and so my absentee from the podcast has been caused by that. But I got some nice hardwood floors down here, and I got this nice collection set up behind me now, and I'm getting another shelf set up. So I'll have some more toys behind me instead of white walls.
IKEA. IKEA.
I don't want to drive for 45 minutes.
That's it?
Is that it?
It's like 2 hours That's, from here.
It's like an hour and a half for me, and I've got them.
I was going to say, ours is in Blue Ash. That's about...
See?
Yeah, that's about 45 minutes for me.
Well, mine's the same one as Megamus's. That's the one I got those from.
So. Maybe a few years. Maybe in a year or so when I get my own place.
I mean, you've got a pickup truck.
What you do on that is just keep waiting for their sales. Because the big tall ones that everyone's talking about, they decided to get rid of the white ones. Which, that's just the top and bottom is white. That's all. And they had them reduced for $25.
Wow.
So, I jumped on that.
They've got all the details up here for $60 now, too.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's...
I have to get a whole bunch more. This room's getting redone. It's terrible.
I know my...
It happened.
Mine, I gave... about a year and a half ago, I gave... I want to say 70 a piece for mine, and then I got the little square boxes that go underneath of them that I think they're called Expedite. And I don't know if they still make those or not. Somebody said that they didn't, but...
they're gone out of production.
That's a shame, because those are really nice. I was actually thinking, since my space is so limited, over here in the corner, maybe getting 3 or 4 Expedites and kind of stacking them up and making little cubby holes to put things in, but I don't know. I'd still rather have a small glass display case over there sometime, but I don't know. That's down the road. But tonight the subject that we're going to be speaking about a little bit later on is robots in disguise, and we're not going to be talking about the robots in disguise that's coming out late this year or early next year. The one that was out
last year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not that one either.
we're talking about the comic books.
See, the thing is, there's been so many lines of robot that's been called robots in disguise. It's hard to point it out. But no, we're talking about the one from back in 2001 that was the carryover of the Car Robots line to the Western world. And we're going to be talking a little bit on not necessarily the cartoon, which, you know, a lot of people hate it and a lot of people love it. Well, there's also a lot of people love the toys and hate the toys as well. But the toys had such an impact, and they were almost an afterthought the way they came along. We're going to talk a little bit in depth about that. We've spoken about RID on earlier episodes, but tonight we're going to look a little bit more about the Transformers toys themselves from the Robots in Disguise line. Where did they come from? What did they mean to the Transformers fans? And where are they now? And as far as where is the franchise gone since Robots in Disguise? And a lot of people say, well, it's gone to hell. And a lot of people say, well, Michael Bay is where it's gone. But a lot of people is still here. I know I am. And RID is one of the things that brought me back hardcore into the fandom. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, we're going to talk tonight about Marissa Fairborn. Anybody have any thoughts, any memories about Marissa Fairborn from the original Generation 1 cartoon?
She was there.
She was there. Yeah. In a couple
of episodes. I vaguely remember.
Well, Marissa Fairborn. Yes, Marissa Fairborn was the supposedly the offspring, I believe, of G.I. Joe's Flint and Lady J. And she was the head of the Earth Defense Force, or Earth Defense Command, in Season 3 of Generation 1. And she had some dealings with the Technobots and the Terracons in the episode Money is Everything. And she also had some other appearances in some other episodes. I'd say there's probably a handful of episodes that she appeared in season three. Well, she is getting her first official toy coming out, I believe, next year with the Transformers Club. And it's going to be a 3 3/4 inch G.I. Joe style figure as Marissa Fairborn. Plasticon, can you find that image and pull it up and share it if you could? Yes. But also coming with her, as I alluded to earlier in the episode Money is Everything, she worked hand in hand with the Technobots.
I already got it pulled up.
She worked hand in hand with the Technobots to defeat the Terracons. Now, I don't know what the name of the G.I. Joe version of this bike is, but it's a repaint into the Technobot Afterburner. I have mixed feelings on this. I mean, yes, it's cool, and I love the fact that Marissa's getting her own action figure, and Afterburner is getting a nod, but the fact that it doesn't transform kind of takes a lot of appeal away from it for me. Any of you guys have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's great, but like I said, I'm collecting G.I. Joe, so I think it's great that I'm looking at the figure itself.
Tobias, which mold are they using for the figure?
I think it's called the Blast Bike. It came with Firefly in the Retaliation line.
No, I mean for the Marissa.
No, my figure. Oh, sorry. I think that's the what's called the subscription service number one, CoverGirl.
Oh, it's CoverGirl?
Yeah.
And it comes with the...
Is she easy and breezy?
Yeah. Comes with the jump backpack.
And beautiful at that.
That's what it looks like. Comes with the jump backpack and laser.
Yeah, could be that. I think there's no retooling. The head is the CoverGirl, and I don't know about the rest of it. It could be Kim Marikashi or something like that.
Didn't they do one for Quirrell?
Yeah, it could be the Quirrell one.
And that because of the what are those, the things that go over his shoulders, the suspenders, that kind of reminds me of it.
Could be that one. And
yeah, there's the other one. It even comes with a G.I. Joe base. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's something that they did with the 25th anniversary Joes. They came with bases with the name tampered on them as well.
Right, I see that, but I just think it's funny that it actually says G.I. Joe on it. They didn't even try and take that off.
Yeah, I don't know how good it shows here on my camera now, but this is...
That's it.
That's Quirrell.
Let me see the waist. The shoulder is definitely the same.
Well, check out that crotch.
You have to speak so we can see it.
Yeah, okay. Here it is. You have the shoulders, and the waist. And
the waist is different.
Boobs.
Yeah, the waist happens to have like two pockets.
But I think it's the same belt. It's hard to tell.
No.
I mean, this is not
It doesn't, because Quirrell only has one pouch, unless I just can't see it. And this one has two, one on each hip.
Yeah.
But they're notorious for swapping body parts to make these figures.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. Someone over at His Tank will have the whole list of what each body part came from. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, I haven't still figured it out. Here's Lady J from Retaliation. Could be that one as well.
Could be.
It's a lot of parts, because when they do these G.I. Joes, they... some of the arms come from one figure, and the bottom half of the legs come from another figure, and so on. They mix and match.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if it's going to come with a comic book. That would be kind of interesting to have them actually come with a comic book.
I can only think of one club figure that came with one that was Nightbeat. I mean, unless I'm missing one. Isn't that the only one that came with a comic? And I don't think any of the subscription figures did.
No. None of them.
Of course, I'll let you know when I get them in, because, you know. We're not going to go there.
Well, I'm backing this. I think this is awesome. I really like it.
I don't care for the fact that it doesn't transform, but
I agree.
I kind of like the idea of bringing in a G.I. Joe Transformer crossover. And like much like the San Diego Comic-Con set from last year, you know, this set here has its set of appeal. You know,
well, let's go ahead and start the rumor then, okay? My assumption is that they're going to combine Joe-Con and Bot-Con. There we go. It's done. They're going to do it. They're going to combine it. This is the beginning of the end. I'm going to start the rumor now.
I could probably see them consuming and bringing in, you know, Joe-Con, which would be, honestly, I think that would be kind of interesting if they did that, though.
I think it would, too.
It would suck in one way, but in another way, it would be kind of interesting, because you'd have those guys that do the those custom kit bashes of transforming G.I. Joe vehicles actually.
You're forgetting one fairly large aspect of Joe-Con, and that is the 12-inch collectors.
Yeah.
You don't give a crap about Transformers. Don't give a crap about Transformers fans. That's where the headbutting comes. It's not the 3 3/4-inch collectors.
No.
It's
you're right.
12-inch collectors.
It's the 12-inch collectors. You're absolutely right. And, you know, my hat goes off to those guys, because that's a hard line to collect, because those guys came with more accessories than those small ones ever thought of coming with. So, you know, I feel their pain on that. That's crazy.
So
especially
that's good.
Since everything was cloth.
You take your hat off to the 12-inch. That's hard. And I got you. I agree. I think you're right on the money there. You are right on the money.
I think if they did try something like that, it would happen maybe once. Because I don't think G.I. Joe fans will put up with
They actually did a bunch of polls on that, and I think – here I go with the – you just 12-inch. I said poll. Anyway, but
dancing around that poll, you know.
It was the 12-inch collectors, the 12-inch G.I. Joe collectors that had the most problem with it. So
Well, I can understand that, because, I mean, it'd be like the guys that really back, like, Shogun and stuff like that. They don't really care about Transformers, but there's always some guy that collects Transformers that also collects Shogun.
I don't know who the hell would do that. Who the hell would do that?
Who does that? I mean, who really likes Shogun? Who likes
Ultron? I mean, no one would do that.
That's like saying if you like Macross and crap. I mean, who wants a Generation 1 Jetfire that's a ripoff of freaking Robotech? Oh, wait.
My thing is if Joe-Con and Bot-Con are combined, then Bot-Con essentially loses its identity as a Transformers convention. And, for fans that go specifically for Transformers, I mean, it's part of the reason why, Jason and I were discussing it earlier today, it's part of the reason why this podcast exists, because, you know, I wanted to have a podcast that was Transformers only and Transformers related. You know, if it didn't relate to Transformers in some way, I didn't want to talk about it on my show. And, you know, in much the same way, if I go to a convention that is specifically for Transformers, that's what I'm going for. Now, if it's like Transformers and something else, I know I'm not going to find as much as I would if it was specifically for Transformers, or at least that's my perception and feeling. And I know I'm not alone on that. I know a lot of people don't agree with that particular outlook on it, but that's the way I feel on it.
I don't believe Hasbro would let that happen. I mean, Hasbro abandoned the entire Joe line, and they're not going to let it become, you know, they're not going to rebrand. I don't think they'd rebrand BotCon. If anything, you'd have a couple of panels probably on Sunday when no one gives a crap about G.I. Joe to satiate.
In a small little closet.
the small little group of people who are going to be there who actually care.
Well, why don't we just piss on the G.I. Joe fans while we're at it, you know? Just hoss it out and just get a good arc going, you know? Do the little Calvin and Hobbes. Yeah.
It's not our fault that our fandom is more relevant.
Is it our fault that there's actually somebody at Hasbro working on our brand right now? Oh, snap!
Well, I mean, I find it funny that, you know, we say that, and it's like, yeah, they all the Joe guys to do Transformers, you know. And, I mean, they honestly, what I see is you're going to have guys that work for Hasbro that enjoy doing G.I. Joe, but then, you know, when that blows away and they get brought in the Transformers, they must have a like for both of them, otherwise they still probably wouldn't work for the company. So, that's just what I say. Artists are artists. There you go.
Hmm.
I mean, it'd be like, if you think about it, I mean, it'd be like if they came out with, like, commemorative edition Generation 1 or two or whatever Transformer, and then give us like a Joe figure to go with it. Yeah. It'd be kind of the same thing. So,
now
I'd like to see that, though. By the way,
Bryce, what's your thoughts on the G.I. Joe Marissa Fairborn Transformers crossover?
I wouldn't buy it, but it looks pretty cool.
It
has to transform.
Well, if Afterburner transformed into like a deluxe or a Voyager size Transformer, regardless of whether or not he combined with anything, that set right there would be okay.
Sold out
must have
to the damn store.
Yeah, that would be a must
have.
What
gets me is how many transforming motorcycles do they have? Why couldn't they use one?
I don't know.
I was thinking about that as well, because before we saw the pictures, we only got this drawing. I think there was some in was it Revenge of Fallen? Was some Scout class and
yeah, I mean sure there were several. There were two choppers that transformed, and then you had two. It was four cross rockets. So they could have easily modified them or did something to make a transforming robot with it, but. Something I would have really liked is if it maybe it transformed, maybe not necessarily in a robot, but maybe like a mech suit that she'd fit in. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
I would have really backed that. I mean, that would have been really cool. So, if they went that direction with it, give it some kind of transformation, you know, and make the Joe actually integrate into it. I mean, I don't see a problem with it at all. I think it'd be awesome.
I think this Marissa Fairborn is interesting because it's such an obscure character. And we're getting new G.I. Joe after a popular mold or sculpt. So.
Right. I mean, myself, I like G.I. Joe. I have some Joes. I don't have a lot, but my son has more than I do. But we're slowly going to start going back into getting G.I. Joe. But there's been times it's like I would buy like rough old G.I. Joe vehicles and turn them into Transformers easily because it's just something I would do.
I want that giant missile launcher truck that we bought at Acme turned into like Omega Supreme or something like that.
It'd be better for a countdown. Think about that.
I was waiting for like the Universe Power Glide to be repainted into a Cobra Rattler. Have that one as a Cobra Rattler, and then somehow remold the Generations Warpath. Hound? No, Warpath. Well, Hound as a Vamp, and then have Warpath as a Hiss tank somehow. Hound is a Vamp, though. I mean, the deco is pretty similar, so I really don't.
Well, they did do the Killer Whale out of Sea Spray.
Yeah.
That was an alright deco.
That'd be pretty cool.
And then, of course, back in Energon, we had Snowcat. So
Was literally a homage to G.I. Joe and Transformers. That was, I think that was probably closest to the, you know, a transforming vehicle that literally looked like a Joe vehicle, but then it looked like
it was even named after it. Yeah. That's the same name.
Yeah.
It would have been, but what I would have, what I wanted to see them do is take that mold and paint it to look like the Snowcat, and then maybe do a Tiger Force release or something like that as well of that same mold. But then they transform into a robot. That would be really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen anybody do a custom of that either yet, but can't say it hasn't been done because it probably has. It's an interesting mold. You can customize them, get off your butt and make some.
Yeah.
You know, to harp on Megamus's point about the potential BotCon JoeCon merge, with this and, you know, Serpentor in the subscription service, you think that maybe they're actually trying to fatten it up to maybe at some point try to do a Joe-related set for BotCon?
Either that, or I'd like to see them do a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover set for BotCon, you know, and do like the Universe Power Glide as a Rattler as like the main thing. But my question for that is, how popular would that be amongst Transformer fans? Because not every Transformer fan likes G.I. Joe.
Well, the thing I saw, like, I mean, it's that whole syndrome with the Human Alliance figures. I mean, those weren't that popular, but it came out toward the tail end of the line, which was kind of a bad time for them to come out. I think if they revisited the concept and then took either existing molds or came up with a new mold for that little figure to fit in, they could easily paint it to look like a G.I. Joe vehicle, paint up or sculpt some new figures to put in there. I think that would probably be the best bet, especially if they could release, like, you know, like a BotCon set that has that. Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to see five vehicles that turn into, you know, robots, but then you got these little figures that actually fit inside of it, like lined up almost like little Diaclone dudes. Mm-hmm. There'd be a lot of people just jump all over that. I think that'd be an excellent idea.
Well, it goes back to the thing, though. You know, they won't even do a Diaclone set because they're afraid that nobody will want that. They think that that's too niche. You know, what was it Pete said, Brett?
I was going to say, have they looked at the subscription services coming out next year? Half the figures in it, no one even knew what they were when they announced them.
Exactly. But what was it that Pete said whenever he was on the show a few weeks back? You know, we asked him specifically, you know, why no Diaclone set? You know, because Diaclone essentially is where a lot of Transformers got their start. You know, they were the original mold. Yet there's no homages. Like,
well, it's kind of like that fans project Sludge that came out. It came with a little Diaclone dude, but the Diaclone guy doesn't really fit on the robot very well. You know,
he fits in
It's supposed to fit in when it's in like dino mode and all that. But from what I gathered, it doesn't fit very well, right?
It fits nice.
Does it? Well, I mean,
and you got to finagle with it a bit.
And the Diaclone version was only a limited release too. The actual full release is not going to have the Diaclone driver. It's going to have a target master.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That'll still sit in the same spot.
But the thing is, that was an homage toward Diaclone to kind of, I guess, fish the market, because they do have that combiner that's coming out. That's that three-part combiner that's literally from a Diaclone mold that they've re-engineered and made, you know, more modern. It's the King Dam. I did a review of it. If you guys want to know what I'm talking about, go check out my review of them. But that thing is literally the only Diaclone modernized thing next to the little bitty guy that came with that Sludge that's even had any heart toward it. So I think what they're trying to do right now is they're trying to, yeah, Brycey's got it.
He fits nice.
But that's literally the only homages we've had toward Diaclone in a long time. And
those
honestly,
are third party, you know.
Right. And it's a third party thing.
In what, 2012? Didn't they put it? Or 13?
Yeah, didn't they call them Shattered Glass Tracks?
Yeah, but the problem was everyone went nuts over it, and then when he came out, no one cared for him.
I did. I loved him, but
yeah, he's not that sought after. And I will say this much: if you think that when they go to decide what they're going to make for Bakon, that they don't look at what's hot on the secondary market, you're fooling yourselves. So if these homages to Diaclone are not selling on the secondary market, they're thinking no one's really caring for it. I guarantee they look at stuff like that.
Right. I mean, it's like take Fans Project's City Commander. They released the one mold to make it look like Ultra Magnus, looked awesome. Then they turned it back around and did it in the Diaclone colors, and that thing, from what I gathered, flew off the market fast because it was Diaclone colors. So what I could see happening, honestly, I could see this is the way probably Hasbro's going to fish it, is they're going to release this masterpiece Ultra Magnus, right? I am pretty sure they have in the back of their mind, hey, we have this thing sitting in Diaclone colors in the freaking CAD. Why not release a limited release and see how that sells? If they do that and it sells out, then more than likely it's going to make them want to push more into doing the Diaclone colors because people want that.
Yeah, but you just said the big key there, if it sells out. If.
Right, yeah. If that sells out. And that's the thing, you know, with the whole reason why BBTS is still sitting on a bunch of Ford Maxes is because everybody that wanted one got one, but some people can't really afford one still, and they're just sitting there.
Well, so you hate really to say it, but we as a collecting community are our own worst enemies. Yeah, we want it. Yeah, we want it. Yeah, we want it. They get it, and they're like, I don't want to pay that.
Yeah.
And then the companies are like, hello, we made it for you. So
right.
We are, because we're so finicky.
That's a real shame. Now, one thing, change up gears here. It was a question that I posted on our Facebook group a couple weeks ago, and it's something that an observation that I made. It's not necessarily a knock, so if you've done this before, I'm not sitting here making fun of you or anything, even though, yeah, well, no.
I highly take offense.
Yeah. I'm not.
Screw you!
Seriously, I'm not making fun of you. Yeah. Seriously, I'm not making fun of you. It's a real question. And I asked, more and more I see people on Facebook and on the message boards, they'll post a picture of, let's say G1 Sludge. And they'll say, who is this? You know, can anybody identify this guy? And you're sitting there, I know I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm like, really? You bought that and you don't even know who it is, and you're why are you collecting? You know, that's the first thought that goes through my head. Then I realize, you know,
is this a rant? This is a rant, isn't it?
No, yeah. This is not a rant. No, this is not okay. A rant. This is not a rant. This is actually.
Hey guys, he's secretly standing on a soapbox right now.
Damn you! How did you know? No,
because you're 2 inches higher in the screen now.
A rant.
No, this is not a rant. This is part of our information dissemination, I guess, is what you could say. Yes, that's dissemination. we're very juvenile here. But my question is, you know, that's the first thing that goes through my head is like, why are you collecting if you don't even know what you're buying? You know, just go out there. Oh, this looks like a Transformer. I'm going to buy it. You know, and you get it. Are you getting it hoping that it's worth something? Or, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But then I think back to the early days whenever I was getting back into collecting, and the thing and this kind of will roll over into our discussion of the night in Robots in Disguise, and. Whenever I was getting back into collecting, the main thing on the shelf at the time was Beast Wars and Beast Machines. The latter end of Beast Wars and Beast Machine. And being a Generation 1 raised child, and I saw a little bit of G2 on the shelf, but I didn't collect any. At that time, by that time, I was out of collecting. But whenever I got back into collecting, there was, I mean, the Transformers that was on the shelf was totally foreign to me. And there was years worth of Transformers that I was totally unfamiliar with that had been released since I was, since I played with them as a child. And I'll be honest with you, I went to the stores, I would buy figures just because they said Transformers on them, not knowing what kind of toy they were and everything. But back then, buying toys at a flea market or online, not knowing what they were, it just didn't happen for me. But I understand now, as you go out and you're browsing flea markets and yard sales and or car boots, whatever you call them,
Goodwill.
Yeah, Goodwill. You're running into more and more toys, because there's 30 years worth of Transformers out there to find. You know, I mean, people cast them off. I mean, you could pick this up and see that it has Autobot insignias on it. What is this? You know, you buy it, you know, you recognize the Transformer symbol on it, but what is that? You know, and it's the Titanium line arc, you know, but you don't know what it is. And yes, you can post on Facebook, but I urge you to use resources online, such as TFU.info. You know, and TFU.info, Transformerland, great resources. They're not sponsors of us, but honestly, I mean, a lot of collectors like me who's been in it for years, you know, there's so many toys out there. I don't even remember what every piece to each toy that I own now. I don't know what piece goes with what sometimes. And I'll look up TFU.info. I know listener Tater X and I, we were out doing a little market tour here in the Louisville area a couple weeks back. And he was showing me some toy stores I had never been to. And we found a Generation 1 Skyhammer in a display case that he was just in a Ziploc bag. I know, cringe, but yeah, I got on there because I didn't know what went with that toy, and neither did the store owner that had it in the case. They didn't even know if it was complete or not. They had no idea how to know. So I whipped out my phone and pulled up TFU.info. Yeah, I whipped it out. I whipped it out and showed it to them. And they went, "Oh my God, it's not complete."
They said, "Oh my God, I've never seen one so small."
Yeah. Look at all the small pieces.
I hate to tell you this, but the first thing I thought of when you said you went to toy stores you've never been to is I'm thinking, oh, you went to some of those sex toys, huh?
No, I've been to those.
Now you're talking about whipping it out. So.
Yeah.
I try to keep this PG-13, and it's just...
I hear they still have some of those stock at CapturePrey.com, that Build-A-Tron.
Yeah. But no, seriously, TFU.info is a great resource. Transformerland. Transformerland is a store also, but they have a lot of great resources that you can use for identifying Transformers and pieces to Transformers that you may not be familiar with. And...
They've been working pretty hard to update it, too.
Yeah.
Lots.
Now, you can quickly and easily find out, if you just take a picture of it and post it on Facebook. But unless you have a knowledgeable fan that happens to see the picture and come along and feel like disseminating information to you about that toy, about what you have purchased, then all you're going to get is, oh, this is what toy it is. But if you go to TFU.info, Transformerland, TF Wiki, and actually research the toy, you'll find out more about it. You'll find out if it's complete or not. You'll find out, you know, what it looked like when it was dead mint, and you can tell whether or not it's a dead mint toy or not.
And the great thing is, you'll actually find out some fiction behind what it is.
You can find out fiction behind it.
Like, oh, look, it's this. Like, oh, it's this, and he was in this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
And who reads all that junk?
But you know, it's a great way to find out more about the toys, and it's a great way to maybe find a toy that if you knew a little bit more about it, you might enjoy it a lot more. And who knows, it might become one of your favorite figures in your collection. And it's just something that you found. You didn't even know what the hell it was. You know, and I'll be honest with you, there's a couple toys I bought, you know, back whenever I got back into collecting. I thought they were newer Transformers between the end of G1 and Beast Wars. And I picked them up and turned out they were like cheap knockoffs. And I didn't know what they were. You know,
they were awesome.
Yeah. But
gotta love cheap knockoffs.
But I didn't know what they were. And if I had had resources like I have today, then, you know, I would have probably knew a little bit more and learned a little bit more about what I'm doing. So
darn you, internet, why are you so young?
Yes. So I urge you, if you're a new collector, check out something like TFU.info, and you might learn a little bit something about what you're buying or prospective buying. It's a great thing. Anybody have anything they want to mention before we roll into RID? I don't want to just jump right into it and somebody has a news item or anything they can think of. Well, Sideburn 2 is now constipated.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
Cut him loose.
If anyone sees Tankor, Rat Trap, or freaking
Sky, I have actually held a Tankor in my hand, but I didn't want it.
For it.
I know. Matter of fact, I know where there's probably about 10 of them on a peg right now, and they're at retail price, not comic show stock prices.
I guess one of the things we can touch on real quick, and it's still in the news. I don't know if my screen share here is going to work, so we're going to attempt it. Oh my god! The add-on kit for that Scorponok.
Oh yeah, Head Robots is back, yeah. Baby.
Yeah, Head Robots has given us a upgrade. It's going to give us claws, a rifle, shield, and the ginormous cannons that go on his back.
But
awesome. And they're also scorpion kits. Legs too.
Make sure you know that they're all in kits. The first kit I think is only the claws and the piece for the head. Doesn't come with everything.
And they're going to be quite pricey.
They're like a Crazy Debbie type thing.
Yes. Which is kind of cool. This is a picture of the first kit that's coming out.
Yeah.
But honestly, I see this as actually a good thing because there's a lot of guys out there that cannot afford a Generation 1 Scorponok, and if they were lucky enough to get a hold of this BotCon version, or maybe even a just an Energon Scorponok or something like that, this is a good option for you guys to enhance those and maybe even customize them if you feel like. So keep an eye on this thing because this thing is pretty cool. It struck my eye the second I saw it. I was like, that's a great add-on kit. Finally somebody did something right. And you know, obviously everybody knows the Headmaster can plug onto the G1 Scorponok, so it's a win-win situation for you guys out there. Yeah. I love add-on kits. I think add-on kits are probably the best thing that third parties should do. I don't mind the full-on figures, but add-on kits are sick.
Yeah, I miss the old days. There's not enough add-on kits anymore.
Well, they also have that that Prime add-on kit that's coming out for Evasion Mode Prime that makes him look like a... it gives him the wings and everything. I can't remember exactly which one it is. It's supposed to be. It's kind of like God Genera with the wings.
I hate to say this, but... You guys are talking about the add-on kits and all this, and that's fine, but you guys evidently didn't get, what is it, the Warbitron? The figures that just were released?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. They're absolutely amazing. They're just, and that kit is going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be the one to top for a while.
The Warbitron kit?
Yep. Yep.
How tall is he compared to Hercules? Is he his height?
He's going to be big. Let me see here. Hang on a minute. Let me grab the one.
Grab it, huh? Grab it by the balls.
I'll grab it.
I don't know what happened with with Proto Man. He was in the chat, and then he dropped off.
Well,
I'll go with my favorite.
He was in the chat, and I believe he probably dropped off because we do have quite a few people on the show tonight. So,
yeah.
If he is listening, thanks for popping in and leaving. We miss you.
Thanks for leaving us, jackass.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone knows how big.
Too much Canadian in the room, I guess. So.
Right?
Yeah. Masterpiece Blue Street.
Yeah, Masterpiece. Yeah.
Or is it Prowl?
There you go. There you go.
Wow.
And this is the baddest so far. My favorite out of the three. I've got. I'll just call them what they are. I got Blastoff, Swindle, and Brawl. I don't remember the. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But this one.
We know what
just,
this is.
You can do different, you know, you can make this the back piece of shield, this, that, and the other, but this is the, my opinion, what it looks like for G1.
Mm-hmm.
And let me get back here a little ways, because it is pretty big. And it's just, it is badass. And it will do any pose, full articulation. Nice big feet, so he stands just fine.
So no QC issues whatsoever when it came out of the box or anything?
I haven't had any with all three of them. I got them all, and I got all of them so far, and none. No looseness, no nothing.
That's good to hear. It really is. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, I'm not against third-party figures. It's just sometimes I think they're flooding the market, like three Predakings.
I agree, but then, like I said, one comes along, like this set, and it
now,
just puts your faith back in it.
The Warbitron figures are actually cheaper than your average third-party combiner figures, aren't they? Don't they run like... Are they still 100, or are they less?
I think they're right under.
I want to say there's around 85.
Yep, well, $90.
90?
Yeah.
So they're close to the same price that we've been giving for the other ones.
Yeah, and of course, I let me see... Trying to see what the price point was for Onslaught, which would be the biggest one. Let me look here.
Dude. And I mean, I don't hold them at fault for any of it. I mean, I think it's great that they're putting these figures out because you got guys that strictly want masterpiece quality, things that are fun and a little difficult to transform and stuff. I completely understand that. But myself, as an aesthetic, I like the simple, fast transformation. But some people enjoy the intricacy. So, you know, I see both sides of those.
They're amazing.
I mean, it is an amazing looking combiner. I mean, I'm like the
Onslaught's more like 120.
So
that's so the one
about the
more.
Same price point, brand new as say M3 Intimidator from Fans Project. Because each one of the individual bots was about 60 or 70, and then you had Diesel that was around 120.
Yeah. I mean, it's... But as far as you're wanting to get something, if I could show this to anyone and put a ton of G1 figures there with a Brawl, and they're going to look at this and go, oh, yeah, that's supposed to be him. I mean, it's definitely... I mean, anyone can see this is supposed to be Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about it.
I like
you know,
the Swindle, too. They got the head sculpt right, too.
But no, this is Brawl. This is what Brawl updated will look like. This is it.
And they got the head sculpts just right on those, too.
Yep.
Right.
They're all individual.
I mean, and it's not really to hold anybody at fault. I mean, I know there's guys out there that are itching for the new ones that Hasbro's producing, but... Hasbro's not going to produce something that's that high quality, so you guys are going to have to give the money for this guy, which is cool, you know. But some of the guys that can't afford that, you never know. Hasbro might go back and revisit another Bruticus and give us a Bruticus in that new style that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So the only way we're ever going to get those guys is get off your butts, buy the Superion and the Minasaur, whether you want it or not. If you're wanting a specific one, buy it and resell it. Who cares? Just do it. If you do that, it shows a Hasbro products actually want it as well. And the same thing with the third-party guys. Support these guys because these indie toy makers are doing phenomenal jobs now.
Definitely.
Really excited for a lot of the stuff they're doing. Especially that Fans Project, that Diaclone, that 3-in-1 that's coming out. I'm pretty excited about that thing.
check out our sponsor, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com, who has awesome prices and everything on third-party products like we've just been talking about. And also check out Mega Toy Fan at your local convention or largest conventions like BotCon and TFCon. And also his website, MegaToyFan.com, for great vintage toys and great prices on those. Also want to point out, we are also now on Stitcher Radio, where you can download thousands of different podcasts, and it is a free app. There's no need to download. You can stream them directly to your device and listen to us each week on Stitcher Radio. Without further ado, let's move on to our main topic of the night, Robots in Disguise. I think this is the right sound file, but I kind of want to cue a blast from the past here, from TFYLP's past. See if this is the right one.
Now, all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Magnet Fearful.
This little sound clip from the original intro to this very show that we had back whenever we were called Geek Existence Transformers on the old Geek Existence website. And you might have recognized the theme song in the background as the theme song to Robots in Disguise, which is what we're talking about tonight. Now,
still one of the best theme songs.
Yes, I loved it, and well, that's one of the reasons why I chose it as a theme song for that for this show at one point. At one point, Transformers was in that deep, dark, dank beast era, you know. But then there was a bright light.
The screen and strangle you right now.
Then there was a bright light. Then there was a bright light, and it had this logo. And it was called Transformers Robots in Disguise. And
some of us cringed.
Some of us leapt for joy.
Rejoiced!
Yeah. Oh, what a feeling, Toyota. Yeah. But
don't you be hating on my Beast Wars, Werewolf.
I'm totally kidding, of course. Beast Wars,
I know,
is awesome.
Werewolf, his favorite is a freaking beast, but he's hated on it. What is wrong with
G1 beast?
What is wrong with you?
And now I know that there is a chromed Weird Wolf out there. How dare you? How dare you show me such a thing? Damn it.
Don't be dissing Beast Wars.
I'm not dissing Beast Wars. I'm just messing. But anyway, at the end of Beast Machines, there was pictures, there was information about
much rejoicing.
Yeah. Well, at the time there was, because Beast Machines was kind of despised at one point, which, you know, in retrospect, I kind of liked the Beast Machines show, and I didn't understand a lot of people's hate of the show, but that's a discussion for a totally different time, and we've actually had touched on that discussion earlier in earlier episodes, so, you know, kind of go back and hunt for it, you might find it. But Robots in Disguise came along kind of as an afterthought, because after Beast Machines, the initial planned line, and if you've been around in the fandom for at least 10 years or so, you've heard the name at least once, Transtech. Transtech.
A thousand times.
Yes, Transtech was supposed to succeed Beast Machines, and it was kind of going to be like the Beast Wars characters with vehicular forms that resembled their beast forms, if that makes any sense.
They were so pretty.
They a lot of them were cool. And if I'm not mistaken, was it Animated Blur that took a lot of design cues from the original Transtech Cheetor design, which actually is what they parlayed that into with the club as a Transtech Cheetor for a club exclusive a couple years back. But yeah, Transtech was supposed to happen, But it didn't, for one reason or another. I can't remember right off the top of my head. Anybody know, remember what excuse Hasbro gave for not bringing us TransTech?
We're stupid and we don't like money.
I think it was some
crap
about them and Takara deciding that they were going to work together, and which was the result was Armada instead of the separation. And so they brought car robots over as sort of a filler.
Well, and that's the funny thing. You know, I was, and I'll have to give credit where credit is due. I was listening to Radio Free Cybertron last week. I think there's a new episode out, but they were actually talking about robots in disguise. And Headmaster Don, God bless him, he's been having issues getting into our Google Plus Hangouts. And if anybody knows why Google Plus will not allow certain people into a Hangout, even if they're invited, and some people and everybody else can get in, I don't know why, but there is something wrong with Google Plus, and it's not letting Headmaster Don into the video chat here, even if he is invited, and even if he has a direct link. And I think it sucks. I can't find any solution to it. I thought I did, but I'm having trouble. And he's using Internet Explorer, if anybody has any solution to that and knows how, please post it in our Facebook group so we can get Headmaster Don back on this show, because I know he would love to talk about this episode, or about this subject tonight, because I was listening to him defend RID on Radio Free Cybertron, and a lot of what they were talking about got me to thinking about robots in disguise and what it means to the fandom and to the collectors today. And a lot of people think, you know, who gives a damn about robots in disguise? You know, it might have a few fans out there, but who really gives a damn? Well, you know, I personally love robots in disguise. It's actually one of my favorite sublines since Generation 1. And a lot of people don't stop to think about what it has done, what it did for the fandom, and what it did for Hasbro, because when TransTech was canceled at the last minute, that left Hasbro with no Transformer toys ready to go out. Thankfully, Car Robots, who had been Takara's line of Transformers during Beast Machines, because I don't think they even had Beast Machines over there, or if they did, it wasn't, you know, wasn't the main line.
Beast Machines didn't come out until 2004 in Japan as Beast Wars Returns.
So while we were getting Beast Machines, they were getting this new series in Japan called Car Robots or Transformers 2000. And you had stars such as Fire Convoy, God Magnus, Speedbreaker, Wild Ride, and Mach Alert. And those became Optimus Prime, Ultra Magnus, Speedbreaker, X-Brawn, and Prowl here in the U.S.
Sideburn. Sideburn.
Sideburn.
Not Speedbreaker.
Oh, sorry. Well, in Japan, he was Speedbreaker. Sometimes I get those. And I'll be honest with you. One of my very, very first online purchases from a very large e-tailer on for Transformers, actually, I purchased it, and I don't know if a lot of you might remember if you've been around long enough, but that particular e-tailer once offered $4 flat rate shipping. You ain't going to find that anywhere.
Those were the good old days. Yeah.
But if I'm not mistaken, Speedbreaker, I got the Super Speedbreaker, and I think he was like $20 and then $4 shipping and handling, so $25. I got this toy, and this was before Robots in Disguise was actually announced as this is what we're going to have here in the U.S. And I got this thing, and at first I'm like, wow, this thing is really complicated. But once I figured it out and got to messing with it, I'm like, I like this toy. You know, play value, as a kid, I would have hated it. And I'll be honest, if Robots in Disguise were the main line whenever I was a kid, I probably would not be into Transformers to this day. But
I absolutely loved it, but they were hard to play with.
They were. And you were a kid at the time. And that's about the time you found Transformers Homage, wasn't it?
Yes. That's why I still bear the name Sideburn 2.
Yeah. A little bit of history
at least,
there.
At least in this group.
What other names do you go by?
Other names.
Yeah.
Other names.
Long John Silver on the porno board.
I go by, if you see an Onyx Prime, there's a chance that might be me, but I don't go to many places anymore.
But you know, Sideburn, you were a kid whenever R.I.D. was on the shelf, and tell us your thoughts on Robots in Disguise from a kid's perspective at the time. I mean, basically, R.I.D. was to you what Generation 2, I guess, would be to us, wasn't it? Because you initially started with Beast Wars and then came along.
Yeah.
R.I.D. So I guess Generation 2 would be your closest comparison.
Yeah, and you can... It's halfway accurate to say that R.I.D. brought me back to Transformers, even though at the time left. I could still get Beast Wars. You know, there was a few tail-end Beast Wars that I could still get. As a kid, I hated Beast Machines. So I didn't buy into any of it. So when R.I.D. came along, I was excited because it was like Transformers coming back to being cars. I've never seen Transformers as cars, you know. I knew they had been cars because, you know, I was exploring the internet at that time. I had found, you know, Transformers Homage and, I think at that time I was looking at, like, Unicron.com and stuff like that, and I was discovering all sorts of things about Transformers. So I was like, oh yeah, cars are coming back, and then I loved the show as soon as I saw it, and it just has a sort of a goofy air about it, but... it was a lot of fun. And the toys. I loved them, and then I didn't. I remember I used to set up big battlefields, and they would always start in vehicle mode. And then by the time I got done transforming them into robot mode to start the battle, already been so long transforming them that I was done playing, so they weren't very good for that, but they were a lot of fun just to fiddle around with.
R.I.D. for me was the second line. Now the first line that I completed, I had loose and sealed. I had Beast Machines, and then Robots in Disguise came along. And for me, as a Generation 1 fan, the return, and this is the key, the return to the vehicular forms from after having a number of years, with strictly beast forms, the return to the to the vehicular forms really sucked me back in hardcore with Transformers, and
it really sucked them hardcore.
Yeah, it sucked me hardcore, and I just... Yeah, all over the place. And
I got that explicit tag.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I am trying for the PG-13, and you guys are just...
Yeah.
You're not allowing it.
But
you're not.
But, hey.
13-year-olds. Who needs them?
He'll run it tonight.
What's that? I'll run it. Yeah, I'll run it. But
No, Megavis...
Yeah, but I got everything, even the store exclusives like Cryotech and Scourge from Toys R Us. Those were some great, great toys. The thing is, like I said, the vehicular forms. Yeah, there were some beasts in the in Robots in Disguise, and one of them is this awesome guy right here. I just love... anybody who's listened to this podcast knows I love dragons. And this guy here is just all kinds of badass to me.
The giant hand.
Well, I could do without the hand. But the hand has...
The hand is awesome, though.
Yeah, the hand... The hand actually has significance, though. Not to us, but if you consider where the line came from in Japan, you know, the hand is a symbol of power in I believe the Shinto religion, and so in Japan, you know, the giant hand from the Predacon Decepticon leader was a symbol of his power in that cartoon, and so that's why he has a hand mode. But honestly, here in the U.S., it's like, really? What is that? I remember back in the day whenever I first got that toy, I converted it into all of
his
modes.
You transformed him into hand mode. You know, yeah. You did.
And then later,
everyone
went, yeah. You went, damn, that's stupid. Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
And then I laid him gently on my wife's breast. And
as a kid, God. I thought
it just turned into an X-rated cast.
Yeah.
As a kid, I thought the hand mode was cool. I was like,
a hand. Bend it over and form it like that, and then just rest it.
this is so weird. He turns into a hand. This is awesome. I mean,
he turns into a hand.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, want to hear what you did with it, sideburn. So, the only one here. He's like, I could use.
It's strange. What a strange toy! But all seriousness,
wow.
Dr. Arkville, in Sweden, what's did you guys get RID? And if so, what was the reaction? And what's your thoughts on Robots in Disguise?
Well, we got RID here in Sweden as well, but I don't remember the reaction about it because. I didn't really know any other Transformers fans at that point. Perhaps it was a lack of internet in my home. And I think it
that might do like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like 3 years later that I discovered that Transformers fans community was still huge. And even bigger than before. So.
Bigger than the Joe fandom.
Yeah.
Right back at it.
So my thoughts about the RID, I loved it. I loved Beast Wars. It was the greatest show ever, I thought. And when RID came along, it was just like you said, Jaron, that back to vehicle forms, back to G1. So I loved that show. I loved the toys as well.
What's your favorite?
You gotta
aspect?
Love.
Well, what's your favorite aspect of the toys?
I could not say the transformation because even then I thought it was really weird. There were shell formers. A lot of them were shell formers.
One of the biggest culprits right here.
Yeah.
No.
Sideburn.
Sideburn
was, but this
Sideburn
guy here,
is
I mean, look, he's got so much back kibble, it's not even funny. But you're just pissed because
I hate you. Did you see my tagline?
Yes, I did see that. I did see that.
But
hey, I didn't know, and it was just tossed in.
I'm just messing with you. I don't hate you.
Yeah, you
too. Brycey, what about north of the border? Robots in Disguise and thoughts.
Absolutely nowhere near Transformers at that point in one time. So I like some of the molds, like Laser Prime and Brave Max and stuff, but the original molds I don't have any love for really. I found them in a secondhand shop when I started collecting, and I was just like, what the hell is this? Bought them all, but sold them soon after.
Let's see here.
Not my favorite.
Not your favorite, huh?
No.
Antoine Lewis says on Facebook that he liked the show, nearly all the figures except for Predacon Bruticus. When he came out, you was actually able to buy him at GameStop at one point, and he was hard to find. I actually had two of them, and yeah, they were kind of hard to find. That was one of those figures that back in the day, whenever gas was cheap, you didn't mind driving around all day looking for one figure, and that was one of those figures.
You know why Bruticus sucked? Because he was a Beast Wars or Beast Machines figure.
Yeah, that was brought in. Yeah,
Fruity and Slip again.
Yeah. Beast Wars is terrible.
Yeah. Forgive me if I butcher your name, but Robert Ruhier, he says it was good. We got a beautiful Optimus Ultra Magnus combination figure, and the return of Fortress Maximus in Japan as Brave Maximus. Got some good robot cars. Yeah, that was another thing about Robots in Disguise. We never got Brave Max over here, but Japan and Korea got Brave Max, which is the Fortress Maximus mold in different colors with minus some accessories. And
more of a nightscape.
Yeah.
Cool looking.
And it was really cool. I like the fact that a lot of the windows were like painted yellow in city mode, and it really brought out the city mode. It made it look really good. But
are you guys referring to this gigantic lump behind me?
Yeah. You don't mind grabbing it so you can show it off there.
Yeah, let me see if I can grab it real
quick. But yeah.
You always want me to grab it, I know.
Yeah, just grab that big old sucker and show it off here.
He's going to be brave while he does it.
Yeah. But that was actually my first exposure to... to Generation 1, a mold that I'd never got to actually mess with, and that was Fort Max. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous deco.
This is probably my favorite deco. I mean, honestly, this... I would not have been surprised if this was a deco that Hasbro might have picked for G2, but never released it. Which, you know, honestly, if you think about it, it is almost Generation 2 colors, because it's got the neon window and just crazy colors. And the windows he's referring to that he has, I'm just going to fold out one side here so you guys can see it. But he does have city windows. And they are tampoed on. They're not stickers. That's what's great about him. If you do end up getting him. Another thing that's very odd about him is his Autobot emblem here. That's actually on the tower. Is upside down on this one. Which means this is the Korean version. Not the Japanese version. There is a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. That's how you can tell.
Put the sticker in, right?
Well,
no placemat.
It's about to say that, and the playmat does not come with the Korean version. So if you guys are in the market for one, you might be able to find the Korean one a little cheaper, but not by much, because these guys do set to about the same amount of money. But if you are after the Japanese version, that's what you're going to have to look for. You're going to have to look for the playmat, and whether the stickers upside down or not on the tower. That's literally the only difference you're going to find between the two, because I've compared them. They are virtually identical. By no means is this a clunk of crap. It is probably one of the coolest toys that has ever been released.
And is also very playable with these guys here. The G2 GoBot Redecos. These guys came out in Robots in Disguise, and I know Megamus, you still got a whole bunch of these somewhere, or did you finally get rid of them all?
Nope, we gave them away.
You did?
Gave them all away.
Which, actually, on the very back of this, you have that right there.
That's but, where they get where I give them away at.
Well, what I could do is enlighten everybody here. I've done reviews of every version of those Spy Changers that has been released, except for the Lucky Draws, which are completely clear, and the Junsco, because they're very difficult to get hold of those two. But I even did the Takara versions as well. So if you guys want to see the difference between them, I did do all the RID, but I also did the Generation 2. So you guys can see the differences, especially if you're in the aftermarket looking for spy changers and you're not sure what one, you know, which ones they are. There are slight variations between them, especially with some of the Japanese ones, because some of them have tampos that the American release did not have, but they're all very, very, very close. And normally you can get them either in a 10, or you can get them in a 2-pack like he had, or you can actually get them on a single card as well. So
the single carded ones, I think, were actually available at like Dollar Generals and everything for like a dollar or two.
Right. But there was very few that were like that. I actually specify that in my reviews as well, because there were the KB exclusive ones that were not released to anybody else. So those were a little harder to find. But honestly, you're not going to pay too much for them. If you're after the Takara ones that I did reviews of, those are going to run you some money, because, you know, Megamis can even vouch for that. They're pretty pricey trying to get hold of those, because they're pretty rare.
I dug around and I found it. This is the playmat. You can see it. Let me get over this way. There it is. That's the playmat. And if you can look right over here by my other hand, this one over this way, you can actually see the outline where Brave Max lays on it for the playmat. And it's actually
his instruction book.
It's just like thick poster. It's not like a playmat like the old playmats, like the one that came with Raiden that was like kind of rubbery. Now this one's just like a poster.
That's really cool.
Now,
this is going to kind of touch toward the community and anybody that's like really in third party stuff. I would love to see a third party company. And I know some people, I know there's a third party company out right now that's building stages to put your Transformers in. But I'd love to see somebody do the same thing with playmats, because it'd be very interesting to have something like that for some people that like to collect and set up their cities, and be able to actually set their cities down on a playmat to actually have roads and stuff already drawn out. So,
yeah.
It's a very cool idea. And I'm sad that I don't have the Japanese one, but I'm also happy that I have a Brave Max. So,
yeah, and it's a fun toy. It's sad too that that figures like X-Brawn here, they released these not only in car robots but also robots in disguise in two or three different colors. There was also a couple of Universe releases, and there might have even been an OTFCC exclusive or two. I know the sideburn mold was Roulette and Shadow Striker, I believe.
Yeah, and Prowl was Sunstreaker and Sideswipe.
Yeah, so they got used quite a bit. But it's really sad, though, that these guys can never be reissued because the mold was wore out. They can never make any more of these. And, you know, even though it's been used a lot, I mean, there's a lot of Transformers out there that was used a lot. But, you know, I can see some nostalgia kicking in for these guys someday and maybe going up a little bit more price. I mean, these are really still really cheap. I mean, X-Brawn here, I got him for $10 shipped. And this guy here, he was thrown in with Megatron. Megatron was about $30 shipped. You know, so, you know, you can still get them rather cheaply. With the exception of Brave Max.
One of the molds that that has been released in that line does get a lot of confusion. That's the Scourge mold that they released that was also the Laser Prime. There's a version of it that the color deco is slightly different than the other. One is actually Scourge and the other one is Nemesis Prime. It's very easy to get the two
Black Convoy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Black Convoy, also Nemesis Prime. What I'm saying is, if you're out there on the market trying to find them, you need to pay attention to the markings they have and what color swords they come with.
The biggest difference is the Black Convoy had a pink sword, and instead of a Decepticon insignia on the truck door, it was an upside down G2 Autobot insignia, as the I believe Destronger logo.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the biggest telltales that you have. It's, let's see here. Mark Shattered Prime Universe said, I had no problems finding the Bruticus. Stormjet, the Jetfire repaint of Jetstorm, was a booger to find. Only to saw him once and bought him at Walgreens. Yeah, the Stormjet was kind of hard to get to.
Well, depending on where you look.
Yeah.
You could find a bunch of them at, like, CVS. That's where I ended up getting mine, and I got him really cheap.
Yeah, like he said, he got his at Walgreens, so...
So he got it really expensive.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing about Robots in Disguise is they had some really, really cool molds. And this has got to be my favorite. And this is one of the things that I absolutely love about Robots in Disguise is this guy right here, Rail Racer.
So freaking cool.
The mass shifting on this toy is, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, they go from these little bitty trains, it's about this long, and they turn into this gigantic robot. Even my wife, who really can't stand Transformers, pretty much, she was amazed whenever I first showed her, you know, the trains, and then I turned it into this, and she's like, those little trains turned into that? And it's just amazing. You know, I love it. The detail. And the thing is something like this, Hasbro said that they really can't do something like this anymore because there's no price point for it anymore. Like the Megas. These were the Megas. And also the parts count is just not economically feasible for them. Mine, I am missing one missile. So if anybody knows where I can find that missile, please let me know. I'd like to get that missile. That's what I need. This Rail Racer.
Which missile is it?
Yellow.
It's the
Midnight Express, I think, right?
Yellow one. Yeah, looks like.
Yeah, it's the yellow one.
Yeah. That mold. Now the Japanese one was going to run you a good penny if I'm not mistaken. Last time my price one is around 150. It's probably more as much now.
It's so much better.
It is so much better.
It's got more diecast, clear windows, better paint job. Better.
Well, the clear windows.
Well,
isn't it
just the one? Isn't there just one of the three that's actually hard to find? For a while there, you could find two of them pretty cheap on like BBTS.
I think it's Reagan's bike.
Yeah.
But the thing is that what makes let's get to the crux of what we're talking about here. What made RID special among all the Transformer lines? I mean, this is what was essentially a filler line to bridge the gap between Beast Machines and Armada. what basically was a filler line, I think, personally, it proved to Hasbro and Takara, hey, look, there's still a fan base out here for the vehicular forms, because I remember, at least in my area, Robots in Disguise flew off the shelf around here. I mean, you had to get to the store soon to find what you were looking for, or they were gonna be disappearing. I know Toys R Us, the one in Lexington, Kentucky, there for the longest time. It was a crapshoot whether or not you could find Scourge there or not.
Oh, Scourge was a pain to find. And, like, I got lucky. My parents happened upon him tucked away behind other toys on a different aisle at a Toys R Us at holiday season. And that's how I got my Scourge. And I was, you know, it's an awesome toy, but, man, the thing was hard to find.
Yeah. The only thing, the thing that killed me about that toy is they removed what made that toy really awesome, and that is Optimus Prime setting fire to a forest on the side of it. You know, how evil can you get? They should have left that on there.
And just I'm fine with the Chrome Tanker.
But, you know,
I still think they could have came up with some kind of deco sticker, but then again, for the price point, nice Chrome Tanker, I can see where they were going with it. That'd be cool.
But you know, it proved a number of things to fans, and it marked the beginning of the return to vehicles for Hasbro and Takara and the brand. And ever since, we've gotten predominantly vehicles. And how many lines have we gotten now that are a mix of vehicles and beasts like RID was? I mean, yeah, G1 had a mix of vehicles and beasts, but the beasts were a lot of the time were kind of a stretch because they were robotic beasts. Whereas in Robots in Disguise was the first time we had the Beast War style, because we had the Predacon 3-pack and Slapper, Gas Gunk, and Darkscream that were just straight-up redecos of Beast Wars characters.
And you also had
Skybite. Mm-hmm.
The best character. One of the best characters in RID. Not the best character, but...
And personally, even back in the day, I thought his toy was crap. I really did. I just didn't...
What are you talking about? Yeah. He's awesome. He's got the most paint apps out of, like, almost any Transformer you could ever...
It does. He does. But I'm just not a huge fan of the original Skybite toy. But that being said, though, I mean, what do you think... What does RID mean to you as a collector in the long term? I mean, do you think that it had a significant enough impact on the collector fandom that it deserves its place in Transformers history? I personally do, because it's what really drew me back into Transformers. Because during Beast Machines, I was like, you know what, these are cool and all, but I really want vehicles. And then whenever they came out, it solidified me back as a collector. But how do you guys feel?
I liked it a lot, because the thing that really brought me into that RID line was the Spy Changer aspect, because I enjoyed the small little Transformer I could buy. It wasn't too expensive. It was fun to play with. But then when they came out with the Ultra Magnus and the Convoy that combined, I really thought that was probably like one of the coolest things I'd ever saw, because they didn't do anything like that in G1. You know, there was really nothing combining with Optimus Prime back then. That was literally like the first time they ever did that, like on a crazy aspect. So I really enjoyed that portion. And honestly, the cartoon was phenomenal. I love it. So that's how I felt about it. I really do like that line. That line deserves its place. It really does.
Dr. Arkaville, what makes RID solidify its place in Transformers history to you?
Well, it was also that line that made me started collecting Transformers, really. So, and I have to make something clear. When I said that I saw some of these Robots in Disguise episodes, that wasn't on Swedish TV, because I remember having a friend getting hold of some copies on VCD.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't see all the episodes, but some of them I saw, and I think it was around that time I saw Beast Wars as well. Some episodes, not all of them. And I think this is a time around when Armada came popular in the States.
Wait, Armada was popular?
Armada was really popular here in Sweden, because... Yeah. That got a lot of kids interested in Transformers again, because it was aired on Swedish television. And I don't think RID was aired at all on Swedish television. I don't have a recollection of that. But anyhow, that's what got me started getting really interested in Transformers. So,
What's the one mold that you think absolutely said, hey, you know, this is what... This is like an ultimate Transformer at that time. I mean, of course, we've had many better ones since. But, you know, up until Robots in Disguise, we didn't have a very complex toy RID. And what Transformer in RID that was one that that made you say, wow, this is absolutely amazing? It's a vehicle with Beast Wars or Beast Wars posability.
I have to say Optimus Prime. That's a favorite toy from that line, absolutely. And after that is Raiders Flight, Midnight Express, and Retrocross. Those train guys, way later that I discovered them. I think it was Optimus Prime when I saw that. I didn't own that toy at the time, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, Megamus, as a dealer.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, it's not.
As a dealer, you know, I've already stated that RID is still really, really cheap. You can get a lot of the RID molds really cheaply. Now, there's a few that you may have to pay for, but what's your thoughts on RID?
Personally, I didn't care for it. I mean, there were, like I said before, there was a few characters that were okay, but I didn't care for the show. I didn't like the changes they made to the characters, and so I didn't care for it. As far as from a dealer point of view, it's got its place. There are people out there that collect it, so of course we will do our best to stock that stuff. So, I mean,
I know
two different points to view.
Yeah, at one time you had a considerable stock of RID items.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we had bought several collections of carded and sealed of the older lines, the RID, Armada, and all that, and it's gone. Most of it's gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sells. People want it. But, yeah, I mean, it's those aren't the ones that are the big-ticket items. Generally, those are the lower ones that a lot of people come in, they buy for their kids. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still people that collect them. So yeah. They definitely have a place.
Well, what do you think out of the entire line is the most collectible or most collector sought after figure in the Robots in Disguise line?
It's been so long. Rail Racer's nice. Scourge.
People
ask always,
for him.
He's always a tough one. Everyone always wants him. Even though they got the new one, the club one, everyone still wants the other one because it comes with the tanker. It's bigger. So that's always a good one. And then, of course, Prime and Ultra Magnus, especially later on they did the Costco repaints of them, which are pretty sought after. But just the Prime in general is a good one. People like that one too.
And I had a thought here. Well, that Scourge too is also one that really kicked off the Black Optimus Prime Nemesis. I guess trend that we've had for the last 15 years or so.
But then it wasn't too long after that that they, I can't remember which one it was, they started just taking random figures and painting them black, and then it was the running gag of, if you want to make some more money, just paint it black, and yeah, people will buy it.
Well, I'm talking about the Scourge / Nemesis Prime.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. It was just funny that that's kind of was a predecessor to that. But you know, a lot of people like Scourge. I tell you another one that's weird, and I'm going to catch a lot of flack for it, because not only do I not understand it, I think it's totally stupid, is Skybite. I'm sorry. I just think it's dumb. It's absolutely dumb. And there's people that love it. Love it. I mean, why else would they have made they redid the character again? So, but just one of those things I won't understand.
But you also have the generation remold, or not remold, but redeco of generation one Bruticus as Ruination. You can find those as, I saw one, somebody posted a complete one on Facebook the other day for $25.
Mm-hmm.
They, it's cheap.
Ugly. It's ugly.
No,
it's
ugly. Like it.
The only one that was even decent was the Urbo camo that they did. That one was decent. But and then the other thing is I don't know if you know too much about it, but they had three runs of it.
Urination.
In the RID, and then they did a yellow one, and by the time they did that yellow camo paint or whatever, the mold degradation was so bad. I pray they don't do another one.
Didn't they do a reissue G1 Bruticus after that?
It was right around that time that they did it, and I don't know what the quality is like that, but I can tell you that yellow one is horrible. Horrible. And in actuality, even the Ruination, like I said, they packaged it three different ways, and towards the end, if you got the ones towards the end, horrible. There's no crisp lines, all the detail and everything's kind of washed out, and they're just loose, and it's just mold degradation. They're using it too much.
Well, myself, I was lucky enough to actually have a Ruination that was in really good condition, and I was downsizing my collection. I had a buddy of mine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bryce. Are we keeping you up?
Yeah, I know, right?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Mute your damn mic. God. Freaking noob. I'm sorry, Plasticon. Go ahead. You were saying?
Well, anyway, a buddy of mine kicked up reviews. I decided to send him that Ruination because I was downsizing stuff, and he's done quite a bit of stuff for me, and you know, vice versa. So I sent it to him as a gift, and he did a review of it and loved it, but he kind of botched up the base mode, and I told him, dude, you need to go look at my review, and then he did, and he's like, oh, well, I can't believe I messed that up, but, you know.
Well, like I told you,
understand.
If you got some of the ones from the beginning, they were fine. They were fine. I mean, not all of them had, but towards the end, and like I said, I have yet to find one of that yellow camo that doesn't have some problems.
Right. I mean, myself, I didn't really have the pleasure of having one of the yellow camo ones, but I did have the gray one at one time. And the gray one was
neat looking. That yellow one was horrible.
Well, the reason why I looked for the gray one is because the color scheme was just – it was the shit. It really was. And honestly, if you're out in the market looking for Ruination, yes, you can find the American release of, you know, the Ruination, but if you can find the Korean/Japan version of Far Robots, which is slightly different in color, it's just as awesome. Go look for that thing because it's a great toy. It really is. Especially if you can't afford like a G1 Bruticus or something. It's an awesome alternative to play with. It really is.
It's a really nice alternative to having G1 Bruticus. I mean, it's the exact mold, just different colors. And you can get it extremely cheap. Cheaper than you can find a G1 Bruticus anywhere, really.
Well, no, I mean, that's not necessarily true. They weren't the same mold as the G1. There were some differences.
What did they remold on it?
I know they did the gun. Swindle's gun was made so that all the guns could combine.
Right.
And Onslaught's gun was changed. Okay. And in the later series, Onslaught's gun was shortened. So there's actually two different variations. One's a full-size barrel and one's a shortened barrel.
Doesn't the ram have a peg on it, too?
They've got all pegs and everything. Evidently, all the guns, the extra guns and everything, will combine either on the shield or the gun. So all the guns will combine to it.
And
it didn't do that on the G1.
Well, one thing I do want to say out there, because there is a KO variant that looks like the Japanese/Korean version. It's got the same coloring. I'm going to put a bug out there for you guys. If you do purchase it, Brawl in that mold suffers from, everybody knows, is gold plastic syndrome. He has got a brown plastic on him that's very brittle. Just a forewarning, if you decide to go the cheap route and get one, you might end up having to go out and buy a better Brawl to be able to actually play with the toy. As far as I was figured, though, I had one of those KOs at one time. It's not bad. It's just the Brawl that's the problem if you are trying to go the cheaper alternative, because I know guys out there do that all the time. Nothing wrong with it. I collect KOs. Megamist collects KOs, or several people do collect KOs because they want them. Just keep that in mind. If you do try to get the cheap one, you might have to replace that brawl. Just saying.
Then it won't be cheap anymore.
It's true. But then again, you can find G1 brawls and even the Ruination brawls sometimes for like 10 bucks.
I got one. You guys have been trying to sell for 5 forever.
See, there you go.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So anybody out there that's had an issue with the head snapping off or something happening with the brown plastic, there you go. What I suggest is if you're trying to stay with the same color scheme is try to find like a rough G1 or one of the rough brawls that has issues and just separate, pull off those bits and put on the parts that, you know, make it look like it actually should to bypass that brown plastic syndrome. So.
Well, I guess we're running a little bit long here. Anybody have any closing thoughts and closing remarks about Robots in Disguise and its importance to the franchise? I know Sideburn seems to have one right next to his head.
It started the trend of Optimus combining with people, and it did it the best. It's never been done as well as this. This thing
Good
is
point.
Amazing.
Excellent point.
Yes, and that thing was awesome. And the great thing is Prime was literally like the cab of the truck, and the whole trailer portion was like a big base mm-hmm. that made him super combined. So, honestly, if you really want an
almost
awesome
a Power Master
one,
Prime.
Well, I mean, seriously, so that's pretty much what he was like a beefed up version of that. And if that's what you're after, try to get those molds in hand. Now, if you need to go the cheap alternative route, like I said, there's several other ones you can get in the line. Spy Changers are very cheap. And they're the size of a Hot Wheel, so most people can collect them. Go for them. They're fun to play
these
with.
These guys are very cheap.
Those are as well.
But
show RID some love.
Although,
get out there on eBay and buy them out.
Very important. Very, very important. Keep a note on the tires. That is probably the number one problem you're going to run into with RID toys, especially now that they're about 15 years old, is the tires.
Especially Prime. I've seen those sealed pot, and they're still splitting.
Yeah. The tires split and
come off. I just noticed one of my Prime's tires are split.
Yeah.
Right there. Ah!
Yep.
Bum, darn bum, you, Magnus. Why did you make me look?
Just glue it.
But yeah,
good luck finding glue that'll work.
That is a very very common problem, and it's a very unfortunate problem on a lot of RID toys. Yeah. But you know,
and like with Prowl, you have to be careful because his door skirts, because especially the brothers, they are
right up in here. Right there. That joint right there is notorious for breaking.
Yeah. His pauldrons there, and the brothers are mostly translucent plastic that's painted, and so they're just becoming more brittle over time, unfortunately.
So if you get one, take care of it, because they can't make them anymore. That's another thing that's really disappointing. They're great molds in their own right, even though they're shell formers. Yes, they are, and they got huge bits of cars hanging off them. There's a lot of G1s that was the same way. But the only thing that makes these guys different is that they had the little ball joints that made them superposable. But because of the issues, like we mentioned, the tires and what Cyburn said, the joints that crack and break on them easily, a lot of them are going to fall by the wayside because they will break, they will be thrown away or junked. And, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot of them around eventually, and you know they are really great toys. They are really great toys. I can see them in another 15, 20 years. You know, maybe a Prowl or an X-Brawn going for $50 or more. I mean, it's not anytime soon, but I can see that happening eventually because of the problems with the mold. I mean, it's probably going to be another GPS type situation. The clear plastic just becomes so brittle that you look at it and breathe on it wrong and it'll fall apart.
Well, so that also goes toward Spy Changers as well, because some of them that were released in KB and such
had translucent
parts, especially the Mirage. That one completely is like translucent. It will completely bubble if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind if you are looking for your Spy Changers. I mean, yeah, it's the size of a Hot Wheel. It's easy to get thrown around, but translucent ones, you might have to look a little more closer, make sure there's no stress marks in the translucent portions.
Absolutely.
Luckily, X-Bron, most of his joints are on solid colored plastic, opaque plastic, so he's probably going to be the one brother that holds together the best.
Yeah,
over his lifetime.
The car hood. Half the joint is on clear plastic. The rest of it is on regular plastic.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that maybe, you know, now that Generations has decided to go and do what Generations originally was supposed to do 2 years ago, and sort of incorporates other series besides G1, I'm kind of hoping maybe we get some new, like, a new Prowl, a new Sideburn, a new X-Bron. Maybe get rid of a little bit of the shell, you know.
Give more modern transformation to them.
Yeah. Which
is kind of funny, because at the time, you know, you couldn't get any more modern than the Robots in Disguise complexity, you know. So now we're saying, well, you need more modern transformation.
Well, and something that doesn't just absolutely frustrate everyone who touches it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be really cool to see them go back and revisit the Magnus Prime combo, so that way it doesn't have the parts form so much either. So, I mean, I would love to see them do that. Maybe a couple Voyagers that combine or something like that. I mean, everybody's going to want, you know, leader class, large thing. But if you look at reality, we're probably going to get a couple Voyagers that combine if that's what they're going to give us. And
I don't know. In the end,
I would not be against that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. At the end, the only way I can see them doing that is by making Ultra Magnus already is most of Omega Prime. So that's something that they would have to do with that to make that happen, because we don't want another Revenge of the Fallen, you know, Jetwing Prime, or, you know, when he combined with Jetfire, and that thing was
awesome.
It was awesome.
I mean,
crazy.
You combine him with Jetfire, and all of a sudden he has absolutely no posability whatsoever, because he's wearing this giant, like, Jetfire exoskeleton.
Well, it's the same thing with the Energon. I don't want to see them, you know, do an Energon kind of thing.
Oh, you don't want? You want some Armada Jetfire pants?
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we don't want that either. We want something that has some kind of posability, has a decent transformation, holds together fine, and does not look like a complete wreck. You know, honestly, I think they can somehow pull it off. They do some kind of parts forming, maybe limit how much parts forming there is, but maybe, you know, because there's parts that, you know, did parts forming on that they literally could have came up with a different joint that would have worked better. So they learn from it, and that's what it's all about. Give them ideas. Some of you guys out there don't want to give them sketches. Give them sketches. Talk to some of the artists. Come up with an idea. They might go for it.
Well, I believe that'll wrap us up tonight for Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Guys, I want to thank you, Brycey, Cyburn, Dr. Arkaville, Megamus, Plasticon. Thank you guys for joining us this evening. Want to remind everybody that we have a Twitter account, at TFYLP. Follow us on there for the latest updates from TFYLP. If I need to get some quick news out, for Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, that's usually the first place I go. So if you want the cutting edge information, I'll post it on Twitter usually first, and then Facebook later. Those are generally the two quickest ways to get information. Of course, tftalk.net is where it's at. Kind of going through some metamorphosizing right now, kind of revamping the look of it. It's now a couple years old in its look, so going to be adding some new features and stuff to it over the coming months, and really excited about those, and I think fans are going to really appreciate it too. So check out tftalk.net. We do have forums. Yes, we have forums on there. So if you're not a part of Facebook and everything, get on our forums and talk.
Forums? Is this 2001?
Yes. Yes. Well, hey, people still post on TFW and the AllSpark. I mean,
what kind of backward-ass technology is this?
Yes. But we do have forums. Check out our forums at tftalk.net. And subscribe to our Stitcher account. You know, that's something brand new. We just got set up with them this week. Support us on there. Support us on Stitcher. Download the free app. Go to Stitcher.com and download it. It's also available on the Apple App Store as well as the Google Play Store. Download Stitcher today and listen to Transformers for your listening pleasure on that, streaming or downloadable. Well, we'll see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure. I am Weird Wolf and crew. We'll see you next time.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.